Hi, I'm Adam Sanford. I'm an academic life coach and professor in Los Angeles.
And I'm Dinur Bloom. I'm a college professor in Los Angeles.
And this is Learning Made Easier, a podcast where we discuss how we learn and how we teach and how they overlap.
Welcome back to Learning Made Easier. This is episode 59, Letters of Recommendation, Information, Timeframes, and When It's Appropriate to Ask for These Letters. So you've decided you want to go to graduate school, law school, medical school. And along with standardized test scores and grade point averages, you have to get letters of recommendation to send to each school that you're applying to. But what do you need to know about getting these letters?
Well, first, it's not as simple as just walking up to a random professor and saying, I need a letter of recommendation for med school. You need to pick the professors whom you got to know pretty well and who got to know you. And that means that you actually have to start this process much earlier than the day you need the letter. This means participating in classes and talking to your instructors, whether in office hours or informally in the halls, really goes a long way. Yes, when we write a letter of recommendation, we have to say they earned this grade in this class. But if that's all we can say, that's not very much. If we can say who you are, like they were really interested in this topic and we had conversations about it, that allows us to highlight you more completely as a student and as a person. Try really hard to avoid putting us in the position of thinking, who is this student? I don't remember them at all. Remember, we have anywhere from 100 to 500 students a semester. You've got to make yourself stand out so that we'll know who you are. So the process of getting a good letter of recommendation, it actually starts on the first day of class. You need to participate. You need to show up to office hours. You need to make sure your professors know you by name, even when you're not in their classroom. This is going to make them much more enthusiastic about writing a letter for you. And it's also going to mean they'll be able to create a better letter for you.
Now, when you talk to your letter writers, give them a minimum of 1 month, if not 6 to 8 weeks, to work on your letter. Remember that the people you're asking to write have classes to teach, they have lessons to prepare, and in many cases, they also have to work on research or department service obligations. And what that means is that a lot of time and energy is spoken for. And so the more time you give your letter writers to work on your letter, the better these letters can be. I've had students ask me for letters of recommendation for law school or for graduate school, but they ask me maybe a week before the deadline, and that's nowhere near enough time for me to write a good letter. And because I can't write a strong letter, I have to decline, because I'd rather write no letter than half-ass and write a really weak letter.
So you need to know why you want the letter of recommendation too. And you need to explain why you want it. So I need a letter of recommendation for graduate school. That's nice, but that doesn't help us write it. If you say, I need a letter of recommendation so I can go to UC Davis because of their chemistry program. I've read about it. I've done my research. And I think that Dr. Jones' work on chemical bonds is just fascinating. So I think I'd fit in there pretty well. That's a lot better. This allows your letter writers a better idea of why you picked the schools you picked. And that means they'll know what to say in the letters they write for you.
Now, in addition to giving the letter writers time, give them things like your resume, give them course papers that you've written, and let your writers know what program or programs that you're applying to and why you want to go to those schools specifically. This lets your letter writers speak about your writing skills, your analytical skills, your time management skills, especially if you're able to juggle work and school and you're doing well in school. Because if you're doing well in school while working, then you're doing something right in terms of managing your time and your energy. You might give your letter writers a file with these things, with your name on it, along with your request for a letter of recommendation. And think of this as a letter packet. It's information that you can give to your writers so that they can write the strongest, most detailed letter for you. as possible.
Now, this is more of an academic politics thing, but it's important to be aware of this too. Many of your professors are adjuncts, and this means they are not on the tenure track. Tenure has a special meaning inside the academy, and mainly what it means is this person has made it through a rigorous program of publication and service and teaching to prove they deserve job security. It also has an outsized effect at some schools, not all schools, but definitely some schools, in terms of things like status, levels of respect, and even sometimes trust. So since I'm an adjunct, I tell my students that they have to have a grade of B+ or better in my class and a GPA of 3.3 or better overall before I'll write a letter for them. Not because I don't like them, but I want to offset my adjunctness on their application. Because to some schools that may say not as good as it could be. They only want to see letters from tenured professors. It's not fair. But I don't want my being an adjunct to bring down the chance of their being accepted into a program. So try to make sure you reach out to tenured professors first if you can. Their names and their status may give you a better chance at being recognized and being accepted into the schools you apply to. Now we want to talk about our experiences with it, and Denora's got a doozy, so I'm just going to let him take this one.
Yeah, so I mentioned that I've had students coming to me. I've had some asking me maybe 2 or 3 days before a letter was due, before their deadline, and that's not at all enough time for me to be able to write something, because that's assuming that if the deadline is 3 days from today, that I don't have any obligations that would otherwise stop me or prevent me from writing this letter, and that's not a fair assumption to make. And if I get the material without little time, that doesn't give me a lot of time to really dig through and find a couple things to highlight in a letter to show a school, here is why you want to hire this student. Here's why you want them in your program. Here's why they are so good for you and why you are good for them. You want your professors to be able to highlight you, to put that shine on you, because you want to show that you stand out. A grad school, a law school, a med school, they're going to have hundreds, if not thousands, of applications each year. And all of these people are going to have competitive GPAs. They're going to have good test scores. How can your packet stand out compared to everyone? And having a really strong letter or a group of really strong letters can set you apart. But in order to get those strong letters, you need to give your letter writers the best chance possible to write a strong letter to support you.
And the other thing is, you've got to remember that this letter you're asking them to write, it's not like a note saying, please excuse student for not being here today. It's not something we can just whip off in a day. Think about the last big paper you had to write. The amount of time that we have to put into writing a letter, it may not be as much as, say, a research paper, but it's definitely as much as an essay. We really have to write an essay about you. That's what these letters are. And so if you don't give us the time to do it, we're not going to be able to produce quality work any more than you would be able to produce quality work if you got an assignment for a 10-page essay due 2 days from now, when you had no knowledge of the material before that other than, you know, a passing, hi, I know what that looks like, or I know what that is. So it's not fair to your professors, your letter writers, to say, hey, I need this letter and I need it by Friday and it's Tuesday afternoon. That's really not cool. Now, to help students who ask me with enough time, enough lead time, I give them a form to fill out to help me write their letter. And I ask first if they've met my cutoff grade and GPA requirements of B+ or better in the course they took with me and 3.3 overall GPA, mainly so my being an adjunct won't hurt their application. I ask them for information about each program they're applying to and why they're choosing those programs. I ask them what class or classes they took with me, what grade or grades they earned in those classes, and anything special that they wanted to highlight from those classes, like a paper on a theorist that interested them, for example, or a project where they were the group leader. I also ask them about what they want to do with the graduate degree they plan to earn, and any other things they can tell me that will demonstrate their work ethic, their dedication to their goals, and service to their communities. By the time they've filled out this form, I'll have plenty to work with, And that means the letters going out are going to be personalized and effective. Now, students, here's how you can use this.
If you have professors in mind that you would like to have as letter writers, talk to them about your goals for graduate school or professional school so that they're aware you're looking at that in the future. And in their classes, you really want to participate actively. And that means asking and answering questions consistently. Because as an instructor, Adam or I might not remember every comment or question you made, but the more you talk, the more your writers can remember you as being engaged and as being a contributor to your classes. You want to develop a portfolio of your best writing in these classes and in other classes, because the more you develop your portfolio, the more you help your letter writers speak about your writing and your analytical skills. If you work while going to school, get your writers a copy of your resume, what job or jobs you've had, what skills you needed in each position, because when you highlight these skills, we're able to say that you showed good leadership not only at your workplace, but also in the classroom. If you worked in a supervisor position, then we can say you showed great leadership skills at work, and this is how we saw this in our classes. We want to be able to highlight your experiences with time management. We want to highlight the skills that you're developing. We want to highlight how good you are at communicating effectively. Give us a chance to put our shine on the work that you've done so far so that we can help you get to that next step.
And like I said earlier, I ask for a list of things I need to know about a student before I write a letter. So again, I'm going to ask for the grade you got in my class, the GPA you currently have, what kind of work you've been doing, what kind of volunteer work you might have done, reasons why you think this school will want you. I want you to tell me about any projects that you did in my class, whether it was a paper or a presentation or whatever, and what kind of grade you got and why you got it. I want you to talk about skills you think you've developed in my class and in other classes. Basically, give me everything I need to know so that I can write a really solid letter for you. So you could make a list of the same information and give it to your professor as part of your letter packet. That's going to make it so much easier for them to write great letters for you. Now, teachers, when people ask you for letters of recommendation, of course, take it as a compliment, but also set some limits on how many letters you're going to write in the course of a semester. Set a deadline. Don't accept any requests after that deadline. Give students a form to fill out like I do so you have more information about them and their backgrounds. And be honest with your students if you can't write them a letter of recommendation. I've told students who pulled a B- or a C+ in my course to go find a tenured or tenure track professor for their letters, because between their grades and my being an adjunct, I feel a letter from me would probably harm their chances, not help them. I don't want to be the cause of them not getting into the med school or law school they chose.
So that's what we have for you in episode 59. If you're finding this podcast helpful, please share it with your friends. We're always hoping to get new subscribers so we can help even more people. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Android. We're hosted on blueberry.com, and we would really appreciate it if you wrote a review of this podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Be sure to join us next week for episode 60, when Denor and I will be talking with Kyle Grappone of To the Next Step about how to prepare for life after college while you're still in it. You've been listening to Learning Made Easier, a podcast about how we learn, how we teach, and how they overlap.
We want to say thank you to all of our supporters on Patreon who make this podcast possible.
If you want to support us, please go to www.patreon.com/learningmadeeasier.
We look forward to seeing you next week.